As you know, we are talking together these few weeks about what we've called a reputation renovation. The idea is that not everybody who hears about us throughout the state of Texas really gets a clear picture of who we are. And that concerned me for a long time, and I did a lot of thinking about what it would take to renovate our town's reputation. What would it take to help people out there understand the real us? And as I did, as I worked through some of those things, I realized that beyond just the reputation of the town, that these five elements would actually help a church be stronger as well. Not only is it going to fix the way people think about us, but if we as a church would apply these five principles, it would help us be a stronger, more dynamic, growing congregation. And so this morning, I want us to look again at the five elements that we've talked about, reputation renovation. The first one was communication, that we just need to start talking to each other, and we need to do that carefully and thoughtfully. The second thing that we talked about was reconciliation. In my opinion, at least for me and my experience, this is the toughest of the five. Reconciliation may involve saying, "I'm sorry." It may involve forgiving someone who never asks for that forgiveness. And those are difficult things for us to do. Reconciliation is rebuilding our relationships while we are rebuilding our buildings in our community. So it's the second element of this reputation renovation. The third one, this morning, we're going to look at restoration. Restoration involves continuing the work that we've already begun of restoring that which is broken. And then we'll look at participation and celebration. Those five things, I'm in the process of challenging our community to look at those five elements and implement them in a way that will strengthen our community and, yes, renovate our reputation outside the community. But I want to challenge you this morning to think of it in terms of the church. In the church, we are one body. We must communicate carefully and thoughtfully. When there are broken relationships within the church, we need to do the hard work of reconciliation. And this morning, we're going to look at restoration. To help us with that, let me invite your attention to Galatians chapter 6 at verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And while you're turning to that, I wanted to share with you one of the reasons that I think we need to look at restoration as part of this process is because it's been a long time since our disaster. And since that, over that time, we have grown weary talking about it and hearing about it and thinking about it. And I understand. I have too. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of having to deal with it. But I want to say this morning, I want to challenge this church and our community to this reality. Even though we're tired of talking about it, we must continue the work until the work is done. We can't just say enough, "I'm tired." The work's not done. And until it's done, we've got to keep that restoration process, that rebuilding, the hard work, we've got to keep that a priority. We get tired of news stories. You know, you turn on ABC News or you turn on CNN or you turn on Fox News, whatever you watch. And, you know, the first time they introduce a story, "Oh, that's interesting." Well, then you hear it again later that evening and you think, "Yeah, I remember that this morning. I was thinking about that." The next day they say the same thing and you say, "Hey, that, you know, we just heard about that." That evening you hear it again and you say, "Golly, can't you find any more news? I thought the news was supposed to be new." And we eventually just get tired of the same stories all the time. And I think that happens in our lives as well. We're a fast-paced society. We have very short attention spans. We hear something, we get it, we're ready for the next thing. And because that's the way we think and live, it's real easy for us to face a problem, give it some attention for a while, and then very quickly be distracted and move on to something else. Beloved, we can't do that with this issue. There are still people who need help. There's still building to be done. There's a great deal of restoration ahead of us. We've got to keep on target. We've got to keep moving forward. We need to encourage one another along the way until the work is done. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't give up. He says, let us not become weary in, King James says, well doing. There's a lot more doing to be done. And he says, don't give up. He says, it's going to be worth it one of these days, you see, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Whether you are thinking with me this morning about restoring our community, or whether you're thinking about a family relationship that needs to be restored, or health that needs to be restored, or a job gone wrong that needs to be restored, or your own reputation or your integrity that needs to be restored. What is it that needs to be restored today? Let me encourage you from the heart of Paul. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Keep at it. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. You see, the God we serve is in the restoration business. He's all about taking the old and making it into something new. You remember the story of Noah? All the people had disobeyed God and had gotten away from Him and no longer were trusting Him and following Him. And so what did he do? He brought the flood. He brought the flood to take those folks out of the picture and start something new. That's what he does. When David recognized his sin and he knew that he was not the man that God intended him to be, therefore he could not be the king he was intended to be, he said, you know what he said? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. But that word for create is a special Hebrew word. There are two words for create in Hebrew. One is, I pick up a lump of clay, and from that clay, I create a pitcher, we'll say. I take something and I use it to create something. That's one word. There is a completely different word in Hebrew. We don't get it in English. But in Hebrew, there's a completely different word that means I start with nothing and create something. What blows my mind about David's prayer is he did not use the first word. He did not say, take this nasty, sinful heart and change it into something better. He used the first, he used the other Hebrew word. He used the same word that was used in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. David says, I've got nothing to give you. Would you create out of nothing a clean heart for me, O God? You see, God is in the restoration business. He's all about making things new. We see that in the miracles of Jesus. There was a lady who was sick, and Jesus restored her health. There was a man who couldn't walk, and Jesus restored his legs. There was a man who couldn't see, and Jesus restored his sight. There were those who couldn't hear, and Jesus restored their hearing. Jesus was restoring life. He's in the restoration business. He makes things new. That's even how salvation is described for us, isn't it? Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, he says that when we become new, when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Christ, that we become new creatures. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's what God is all about, making things new. And even in the Revelation, when we get a glimpse of the Lord at the end of time, we get a glimpse of Him on His throne in glory. You know what it says? He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." That's the kind of God we serve. So remember that. Remember, when you need a new start, there is one able to guide you through that. When you need to be restored, there is one who is powerful enough and loving enough to bring that restoration. God is in the restoration business. In Isaiah chapter 61, "And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." These folks had been displaced from their homes. The enemy had come in and destroyed. And they were longing to be back home someday. And he said, this is what's going to happen. God is going to restore you. And He's going to provide for those who grieve. Bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Our God is a God who brings beauty from the ashes. He is in the restoration business, and we can trust Him to help us along that process. The bottom line is this: if God assigned the task, He knows what it will take to finish it, and He will supply all your needs to complete the job. Whatever God has called you to, whatever your purpose in life is, whatever your next task is on God's to-do list for you, whatever that next task is, if He's called you to it, then you know that He can bring you through it. You know He can give you everything necessary to accomplish that to which He has called you. Isaiah said it in another way in Isaiah 40. "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." When crisis hits, those who wait on the Lord will be able to soar. When times get difficult, those who wait on the Lord will be able to run and not get weary. When times get tedious and the task seems unending, they who wait on the Lord will be able to walk and not faint. He provides all that we need to do that to which He has called us. So what does that mean to wait on the Lord? What does it mean? Simply, it means to put our hope in Him. Matter of fact, some of your translations even have a little footnote there, maybe a little number right beside wait, and it tells you that means to hope in Him. In other words, if you're depending on yourself to do all that you think you have to do, you probably aren't going to get it done in the way it's supposed to be done. But if instead you get your to-do list from the Lord instead of from your own mind or those who force it on you, if you let Him dictate what it is that you're to be about and then you hope in Him, you trust in Him, He will provide all that you need. You will soar. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. The greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often it is those who patiently are plodding. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us not only to fly higher and run faster, but also to walk longer. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at their destination. Folks, our journey has been long. And I know we're tired. But we must continue until the work is done. And the way you do that is you get up in the morning and you say, I can't promise anything about tomorrow, but for today, I'm going to serve. Today, I'm going to work. Today, I won't quit. And then the next morning you wake up and you say, today, I won't quit. Are you fighting for your marriage? Say to yourself, today is not the day I quit. Are you fighting for the underdog at work who's being mistreated? Today you say, I don't quit. Are you working at rebuilding that which is broken in your family? You say, today is not the day that I quit. Are you fighting for your health? You wake up and you say, today is a day I fight. I won't quit. You keep plodding. You keep working. You keep walking one step at a time. And He promises, they that walk will not be faint. You know, one of the things that keeps me going from time to time is that I want more than anything else to hear my Father say, well done. One of these days when I've preached my last sermon, when I've taught my last Bible study, when I've conducted my last funeral, officiated my last wedding, made my last visit, moderated my last meeting, written my last paragraph, one of these days when I take my last breath, I want to hear my Father say, welcome home, son. Well done, good and faithful servant. But until that day comes, you're looking at one tired old preacher who's just going to keep on keeping on. Until Jesus comes back, or until He takes me home, I don't quit. We as a community must agree together that until the work is done, we don't quit. You need to go home to your family tonight, and whether you say it out loud or you feel it in your heart, I want you to go home and look at your family tonight, and you say, I don't care what happens. I don't care how you hurt me. I am not going to quit. The next time you face a struggle that is bigger than you, you say, this is a chance to show how big my God is. And you say, I don't quit. You remember how we started the Sunday after? You remember how we started the healing process? We agreed together that God is bigger than all of this. And He still is. We're the ones who get tired. He's still bigger than all of our problems. We're going to trust Him and follow Him, and we're going to keep working one day at a time, one step at a time, and we're not going to quit until the job is done. You see the promise? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, who gets to decide the proper time? Let me tell you a secret. It ain't you. How I wish it was. God, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you. I've done enough, God. Where's mine? Where's my reward? Where's my blessing? I've earned it. It's mine. Sometimes we have to be reminded that we're not God. The promise is at the proper time, determined by the one who is above time, chosen by the one who cannot be confined by time. At the proper time, he says, we will reap a harvest. If. Sometimes the biggest words in the Bible contain the fewest letters. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, chosen by God, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. From 1 Peter, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You. Thank You that we don't have to understand this complicated thing called life. Thank You that we don't have to have the power to do all that needs to be done. Thank You that You are God and we're not. Father, we trust You today. It seems like every day, every morning we wake up, there's another task to be done, another job to be carried out. And sometimes we just get weary. Help us to hear You say again, come unto Me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give You rest. Lord, help us to rest in You and to hope in You that we can continue to do what You've called us to do. Forgive us for the times that we just sit and quit. And Father, today help us to take a stand, to be strong in the power of Your might, to accomplish Your goals and Your tasks for Your glory. Help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name.